It's pretty awesome when a major celebrity like Desperate Housewives star Marsha Cross comes out and lets everyone know in a roundabout way that her husband has been munching at her back door.
Marsha has recently been outspoken about her battle against anal cancer and links the disease to the throat cancer her husband had, since they're both caused by the same virus. So how did his throat cancer get all up in her butt? Well, you know.
Today, comedian Matt Brown joins us to talk about the pleasures and perils of putting your mouth where the sun don't shine.
Plus, is Matt sorry about making fun of the Buttigieg's on the last podcast?
Eugene Lee Yang from the Try Guys tries coming out as gay in a super gay video.
Liza Minnelli laughs off Lady Gaga's remake of A Star Is Born.
And a Mariah Carey fan was surprised to get a cake with Marie Curie's face on it. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Okay, so now I'm plugged in, I'm turned on, I'm ready to go.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. My hole is wet.
Well, all right.
I like that. Our guest today is comedian Matt Brown. No relationship to the, you know,
Brown eye.
Yeah.
But I am related to Bobby Brown and James Brown.
You are?
They're both my biological father.
How's that even possible?
They fucked each other in the butt and I happened. Magically light skinned. Wow. Don't make any sense, but it happened and I'm happy about it.
I have a poem for you.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, this is something that I used to do as part of my cabaret act 25 years ago.
Okay, Eartha.
And
will you do it as Eartha?
I won't do it as Eartha because I was more. I'll tell you afterwards who I was trying to channel.
Okay.
And I am not rehearsed. I'm not prepared right now. So I might fuck it up.
Living your truth and we're proud of you.
So I basically would find some, you know, hot young man in the audience and I'm in drag and I go up to them and I said, "You have an ass so nice, I could eat it with strawberry ice. As a banana split, it would be a sheer delight. I could eat your ass for breakfast, for lunch, and in the middle of the night. And if I had to eat your ass all by itself, it would still taste all right."
That's so beautiful.
Wow.
I could almost cry. I have never found, you know, a piece of art, literature, painting, or sculpture that described quite how I felt about ass until this moment. And I need to express my gratitude and my thanks.
Well, there was the godfather of rap, Rudy Ray Moore. He, Dolemite, he mm-hmm. inspired the careers of, God, you know, Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy, so many great entertainers.
Suzanne Somers.
And he would stand up on the stage and just like wax poetic about how he'd like to have sex with women. And it was never the missionary position. It was always being raunchy. Mm-hmm. And it usually involved him doing all unspeakable things to beautiful women in the audience. And the women would be like, "Me too." You know, future.
Mm-hmm. Hashtag me too.
And for me, it's like when I did it, like the audience, sometimes the audience would be just roaring in laughter and stuff. And part of it is like, you know, it's the tables turning, mm-hmm. right? I'm a skinny young drag queen back then. Mm-hmm. And this, you know, usually I would find like a big hunk, you know, yeah. to sort of, or, you know, older gentleman. Mm-hmm.
I love going, like when I do my comedy shows, I absolutely love flirting with guys that are in the front row that are, you know, the only people I can see, because chances are they're out there with a girl. And so they're already safe. Mm-hmm. It's not like it's a guy who might've gone out to a bar by himself to like, you know, go see what's up. And then, you know, that happens. So he's already with a woman that he's dating or married mm-hmm. to. So he's safe. Mm-hmm. And then also, it's funny to him because he literally hasn't had sex with anyone but her in like 11 years. So like, it's just the, mm-hmm. you can go further with them because there's that whole, like, this is completely not real dynamic mm-hmm. on top of the whole thing of we're both men. So no one is at a disadvantage or a weird power thing. And so it's not like a guy like talking to a woman who maybe feel like she can't leave or can't respond. But like, that dude can beat my ass the second I'm off stage because I'm still a man. I'm still a man. And if he doesn't fuck with that, he has every right to not fuck with that.
And I would do it in venues venues that was not necessarily, there were not necessarily gay bars. There were like music venues and stuff like that. So, you know, in 1992, that definitely was pushing buttons. And, you know, I would get chased sometimes like getting to the venue because I would be running late and I didn't put on my wig or I had like my bra on, but not my panties or, you know what I'm saying? So I'm like in half drag. I was a mess. Yeah.
A mess in a dress, a pig in a wig, a hog in clogs.
Yeah. And so to, anyways, today I wanted to talk about, you know, the love that dare not speak its name.
Okay, Oscar Wilde.
Because it doesn't see the sun. It doesn't see the sunshine. Eating ass. We're going to be talking about ass eating. I know this is a wholesome podcast brought to you by
Jif Peanut Butter. Smooth and creamy or chunky, whatever way you like it.
No chunks over here. No chunks.
We're talking in the salad.
Go ahead.
Well, I was inspired because, like, Marcia Cross, you know, from Desperate Housewives, now we discovered she's a desperate ass wife.
Yes!
but she's coming forward and she wants to talk about the stigma of anal cancer because she's got it. Mm-hmm. She had anal cancer and she's been interviewed and talked about it and she said she had to go through therapy. And I was just amazed because she said, like, in the beginning, I just sort of lay down for the parting of the cheeks and I would float away because what else are you going to do? But she's also going out there because, you know, anal cancer, we've discovered a lot of it is caused by the human papillomavirus, HPV, you know, basically warts. And then her husband also had throat cancer, also the same kind of cancer, right? HPV. And so I'm just, you know, put two and two together. He's got throat cancer. She's got ass cancer. I think something's going on there, right?
I definitely think he was eating her ass. And honestly, that's why William H. Macy won't bail Felicity Huffman out of jail. He's probably afraid she's got something growing up her twat, too. Like, they're all scared. Terry Hatcher's husband's just washing his dick in the sink. Like,
dipping in vinegar and Listerine.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's douching. Like, it's bad.
Well, have you guys ever, you know, sort of taken a voyage in the Pacific Rim?
Let me tell you, eating ass was all I wanted to do the first time I fucking had sex. It was the favorite thing. Before
you sucked a dick or anything?
No, I definitely sucked dicks first, but I'm saying, like, the porn that I would watch before, like, I had sex, like, I just, that was, like, my favorite part. That was my focus. The first time I fucked somebody, I ate his ass for an hour and a half.
Whoa. Somebody's hungry.
I needed it.
Wow. You were hungry.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you were living the American dream.
And honestly, my appetite has still not been quenched. Like, I'm like a hungry hippo.
Well, I'm sure they loved it.
He had a great time.
Yeah.
He did.
Do you have any special techniques?
I can't, like, it's like Donald Trump with the military plan. I can't reveal everything away or they're going to come do what we're doing.
Don't you want to spread the love like you spread those butt cheeks?
Just put your face in it and fall in love. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My roommate Joey said the secret is you really just got to get your tongue up in there and dart it into the hole.
You definitely have to get inside the ass. That's like muy importante.
Yeah.
But like there's more to it. Mm-hmm. There's definitely more to it.
Well, my technique too is like you just don't move the head. Sometimes if you can, you just bounce the booty on your tongue. That's also very helpful.
Yeah, I'm all about, it's really fun for me. Like if a guy is like sitting on my face and jerking off, that's like,
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Well, that's like,
that's good to know.
That's key to joy. Like, honestly, didn't Beethoven write the Ode to Joy? That's my Ode to Joy. Just Ode to that ass. Just like I'm in.
Don't look at me.
Yeah, no. Fausto won't eat ass. Fausto won't look at an ass. Fausto still thinks asses are dirty.
I believe I'm no stranger to, you know,
but it's a recent thing
dumpster diving.
It's a it's a recent thing for you. Cause there was years that he wouldn't do it.
I haven't in the past.
Like I said, one day you're just going to find an ass and you're just gonna be like, that ass needs to be eaten and you're gonna want to eat it.
Okay, so you're basically telling me he ate your ass once in 2013 and you still write letters to your sister about it.
I have other people.
She got hoes.
The thing about it is you know, my concern and a lot of people's concern is like, there's poop coming out of there, so why would you want to put your mouth there?
I typically
you eat the poo-poo. Eat the poo-poo.
Somebody's ass while poop is coming out.
What?
I don't typically eat an ass while poop is coming out.
Well, I'm saying, like, you know, want that butthole to be clean.
Yeah, of course.
So I tell the guys or the ladies,
yeah,
let's take a shower together so we can, you know, wash up down there. So if that's what you like, then then we can, you know, not be exposed to, you know, a fire fart.
I don't know about all that. I was at a party last week and I told a Kenyan guy I'd eat a swamp ass. Like, sometimes just gotta be who you are.
Did you?
No. He was straight, but I just thought I should let him know how I felt.
They look at you and said, oh, I'm very pleased to meet you.
Thank you.
Thank you, like,
thank
Matt
you, young
Brown.
White woman.
Close enough for some of them, honestly. Honestly, almost white and almost a woman over here.
What do you think, you know, that people outside, I think that's the thing, like, for gay sex or sort of the civil rights movement of homosexuality or sexual marginalized people. Part of it is, like, it's been easier to some degree for Americans to accept lesbianism than homosexuality in men, because they see as men as, you know, inherently dirty little butt pirates, and give two guys together unlimited access to each other's bodies and all kinds of, you know, demonous pleasures will partake in the night.
I don't really want to hear that whole, like, gay sex is dirtier than straight sex thing, because you're telling me that when you're fucking a girl and, like, you've been in there deep and you're drilling this shit, and then, like, half an hour later that, like, white shit starts to creep out half the time. Like, you know, when, like, that
white
weird
shit,
that weird yeast pussy just starts to develop every now and it just, like, you don't notice till halfway through, and then it's just like there's sea foam around your dick. You're telling me that's fine, and that happens to everyone.
But, like, a lot of Catholic schoolgirls will tell you, you know, what? The butthole is Jesus approves it.
Catholic schoolgirls, they're not. No, that's Christian girls.
Christian girls. Evangelicals.
Catholic girls take it in the pussy because they're raised around babies. They know where babies come from. They're all, like, they're all their brothers and sisters are all fucking. Yeah. They're all fucking too.
And
they don't
I think most gays should be Catholic, because Catholics are against condoms and pulling out. So, like, it just seems like our kind of religion. It's just from an activity standpoint.
Well, and so for a lot of, you know, conservative Christians who do that sort of, you know, prayer ring or chastity ring, or, you know, only daddy gets to control my virginity.
Oh, no one gets to fuck me but my dad.
Exactly. They can do it up the butt, because and usually that involves a little snacking first and then, you know, full meal.
I remember hearing something about, like, there's a Bible verse that says something about, like, the safety of the valley or whatever, and the valley was supposed to be between your ass. So, like, that's why it was okay.
I think it was a camel in the eye of the needle, right?
I don't know what you're doing with your camel. You do whatever the fuck you want in North Sudan.
That's it is easier business. For a horny man to get into a gay bathhouse than
a woman's
is
ass.
For a camel to eat out an ass
through a needle. Stick his tongue through a needle to eat someone's ass.
I read about that in the Bible somewhere. I don't know where it is. I don't know. What do you think about Marsha, like, sort of when celebrities sort of come out forward and talking about the relationship to eating ass? It's usually because they have anal cancer of some kind. And we know that, like, Eartha Kitt famously sang about, you know, Santa Baby, hurry down the chimney tonight. Yeah. And she did die from anal cancer.
She did. And maybe she got it from ass eating or fucking. Maybe. And, you know, it is a particular concern for gay men, because, you know, typically we have a lot of sexual partners. And there's
one or two.
You know, there's a lot of, like, you know, things going in the butt. Luckily, though, like, young guys coming up today, though, they're getting the Gardasil vaccine. Mm-hmm. But, like, once you get past a certain age, they're just like, oh, honey, you've already got it.
Well, I got the vaccine after I already got it, which I think is nice. You know, it's just sort of like a double insurance.
Yeah, I don't know, like, is it possible? And I'm not a medical person, you know. And please don't get your medical information from the internet.
Or Fausto.
Or me.
In person.
But but part of it is, like, I think, you know, is it possible to sort of mitigate some of the harm if you can get a vaccine?
Well, I think for anal cancer, sometimes, I don't know if you can mitigate it after the fact. It might not be worth it, because you've already probably been exposed. And then again, too, that kind of thing only immunizes you against
a couple. Strains.
A few strains, so there's a lot of other things out there. But, you know, to cut down on risk of, you know, cancer, is there's some things you can eat, a high-fiber diet to help. Maybe you just kind of push that cancer right out.
Yep. Just, like, shit that tumor out like it's a bad bag of Wendy's.
But as you get older, you should be checked for that kind of stuff. And I think they can even do just, like, they stick your finger up there and do, like, a little smear and be like...
Well, at the age of 50, well, I you think hope you're supposed to get a smear. That's a colonoscopy.
Colonoscopy. They can look up there, and or they can do a prostate exam, that kind of thing. And I think they might even have, like, a blood test.
And you need to know your family history and shit. Because, like, for example, like, in my family, all the men on my grandpa's side of his family, all of his uncles, like, all eight of them died of colon cancer.
Oh, really?
He died of colon cancer. My brother had, like, like a scare, like when he was in his late 20s. Like we all bleed out of our asses all the time.
Is that why you're afraid to become a bottom?
Yeah, because I already know something awful's gonna happen. So it's just like, I'm gonna keep the atom bomb to myself. Like, and also, what if I'm getting fucked and he's like, I feel a tumor. Like, I don't want that. Like, I would much rather just shit on someone like a lady. Like, I can't. It's too embarrassing. I wonder
if anybody out there has ever discovered a tumor in their ass because somebody was fucking them or fingering them.
Well, I mean, women have discovered lumps in their breasts because guys don't know how to touch a titty. So, makes sense.
I can't tell you how many times I've had a finger up the guy's butt and I feel all kinds of lumps and nodules and stuff.
Oh, yeah. And there's like a paper clip and a car key and like all sort of bubble gum.
And
there's,
I'm just like, and I pointed out to them very discreetly, because, you know, I just say, oh, there's something there. Like, is that something there? I didn't notice. I said, you probably want to see your doctor about that, you know. My father,
Who also likes to get fingered,
he liked to finger old women.
There you go.
He went to a retirement home. I don't know where he did it, but he would document it in triplicate.
He had
with
a log.
Carbon paper.
He had a log.
So he would write letters to the women that he would have sex with and print them in triplicate and then file them in his filing cabinet.
So he could keep track of his bitches.
I don't know why he did that or whatever, but so he went to a retirement home and then he got himself a little apartment just a block away. You know, like a really cheap little apartment. He called it an office, in quotations, with a bed.
So he could go fuck bitches.
And he would get him. And, you know, he's a resourceful guy. This is somebody in, you know, in his late eight. How old is my dad? Like late 80s, right?
He's your dad.
He was like eight.
Yeah.
A long time ago. But so anyways, he would grab these women, walk down the street, you know, let's go for a little walk. And he'd take them to this place and fuck them. And then afterwards, he would write a love letter to them. And says, my dear, then Spanish, you know, very old world language.
Mi cariño, no puedo decir.
Señora, como. You know, so anyways, he said, my dear, thank you so much for showing me the pleasures that a man of my age thought would be long lost to the annals of time.
Estoy enamorado de tu coño.
Yeah.
You know, just all the details.
But I must confess in you.
Yes.
In your body smells putrid. It is rotten and disgusting. Please go see a doctor about it.
The pussy feel great, but it stank. That's what he said. That's
and then he signed said. It in his, you know, formal signature. Then my sister found the letter and asked him about it. And turned to my dad and said, what happened? He's like, she died of cancer.
So her pussy was rotting out and he was the last one to tap it open to get the smell out.
Yeah.
That's great. He opened up a door and closed a window.
She died 3 weeks later.
He killed her.
But that's a very important thing to know is no matter how old you get, no matter how rotten you are, someone will still fuck you.
Speaking of that, this is okay. I've been watching this show on Amazon Prime because I'm bored called Shocking Lives. And there's this one episode that it literally follows around this young mixed guy. He's in his late 20s or early 30s. And all of the old women he fucks. He fucks women that are between 65 and 90.
For money or for fun?
For fun. He loves it. He likes wrinkles in the cleavage. It gets his dick hard. And he's a young, cute guy. He could be my fucking brother.
I heard about this show. Yeah.
And then the episode before that's these women that have big giant asses and are cam girls.
It's a documentary series.
Yeah, it's a documentary series. Yeah. But this
they're
one
always
woman,
on Facebook in 30-second increments. Yeah.
This one woman was 92 years old and she was just like, we don't need lubricant. I make my own. And I'm just like, what the fuck?
Out of butter. Out of country
to the refrigerator
crop.
And pulls them out.
She just gets a brick of lard and then just watches it melt and then she makes a pie crust out of it.
Well, you have to be careful with older women because their vaginas get very sensitive.
You got to go nice and slow.
They have to be well lubricated.
Yeah.
You were saying that Taylor Swift's song was blaring.
Yes.
On the share card ride you took.
My Asian Uber driver who didn't speak English, he was playing Taylor Swift because he didn't understand what was going on, so it didn't hurt him as much as it hurt me. But that fucking song is just so bad.
What's the name of the song again, Mark? It's
Calm Down Now.
Yeah. Just shut the fuck up and listen to my song.
I don't know. All of her shit's Shake It Off, Calm Down.
She's bossy.
There's too much going on with her. I can't. I just can't.
I do like the idea of, you know, her and Katy Perry sort of burying the hatchet and burying each other's noses in each other's vaginas.
But. Oh, yeah, they should eat each other's twats all day long. But, like, do you think Katie should have to walk around with an infection from Taylor's $1 red lipstick? Like, do you really think? Because, you know, it's like that dye that gives you cancer and shit. Like,
oh, FDNC number 5.
Yeah, red. Katie doesn't need that in her cervix. She used to be a Christian singer.
Didn't they make those, like, lipstick anyway, right?
Cherry chapstick.
Yeah. Wasn't that the reason that M&M's didn't have red M&M's for a long time? Because they cause cancer? Mm-hmm. Well, and all of a sudden, we saw red M&M's and...
We didn't give a fuck no more.
And I'm just like, don't these cause cancer? And they're like, shut up and eat them.
And I did. Oh, so good.
I love the almond ones.
No, Taylor Swift is just so annoying. Like, she looks like a supermodel. Looks like a complete supermodel and sells out arenas and can't sing or write or play guitar. Like, she should be the happiest bitch on two legs. She really should be.
Why isn't she?
I have no idea, because Harry Styles won't fuck her, right? I have no idea. I didn't notice
that she was wearing a bisexual wig.
Like, because what, the bisexual wig.
Flag.
What's a bisexual wig?
The flag, the bisexual flag, the red, blue, and with a purple stripe in the middle. With her, it should be a brown stripe in there. But and she had a wig in that color.
Well, it's probably because most of her fans are like young girls, and most women are gay in high school because they don't want to get pregnant. So that because like when I went to high school, there were like 3 gay guys and like 30 lesbians, and now they're like all married. Yeah. So I don't buy any of it.
So you don't, do. You, so Taylor Swift doesn't strike you as a bisexual or a lesbian.
No, not at all. Because like, remember when she first came out in 2007 and she had like all that big curly hair and shit? She could never put that in a ponytail. That was her experimentation phase. If you can't put your hair in a ponytail, you can't eat pussy. So no, I don't. Her hair was too big when she was young enough to try. So no, I think it works.
Definitely. I think she likes the ladies for sure. And I think this video is partly part of her coming out.
Well, if you wait till you're 32 to come out and you already have $500 million, nothing you do or say is brave, so I'm not interested.
What do you guys make of that BuzzFeed Try Guy, Eugene Lee Yang?
Those Try Guys are all hot. The Asian one could get it.
Well, he's coming out as gay.
The Asian one?
Yeah.
Really?
Eugene is gay.
I got some dick to suck. Can we pause real quick? I got go.
They're coming to town.
He's going
to
be trying your dick now.
I'm so ready.
He's like, you know, sitting on top of the world. And so he's coming after, what's the guy's?
Todd Recall.
Todd Recall's career, yeah.
So he can't, well, also, too, I think he, you know, there was that, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. There's a scene where, like, the one guy does a big dance number and it's his coming out story.
Yeah.
So Eugene's kind of like doing that, you know, he's trying that, you know. I guess the Try Guys, it's just, you want to just call it the appropriation guys. Mm-hmm. But so he does his, well, you know, he's a dancer and a trained dancer and choreographed this whole thing. And it looks fantastic. But my favorite part is towards the end, you have Kim Chi comes out because, you know, she's also Korean.
And don't you love how she's fat again? Oh, I love fat kimchi.
And so she just
was there ever not like a, I mean, kimchi's always been large and in charge.
Okay, but she's like moving to like what's Latrice levels, and I'm ready.
She's like 6'3". You know what I mean? So there's a lot of kimchi there.
There is the occasional incredibly tall Korean every now and then. It'll surprise you.
But anyway, so
that's a lot of bulgogi, honey.
Kimchi is a lot of bibimbap. Kimchi's not known for being very graceful, and so here you have this very graceful, like all these many dancers. There's probably 50, 60 dancers in this thing doing all this elegant thing, and at the end you just have a kimchi coming out clobbering like with her big clumsy feet, and then like plopping her ass down in this chair, and you're just like, yes, and it's kind of like the final note to this whole thing.
Funny as fuck.
Okay, your move, Kimchi. Time for you to come out.
You know, I was just thinking, for Korean drag queens like, you know, Soju, or who want to sort of like follow in Kimchi's footsteps.
Soju Chi or Soju Love.
Well, they should name themselves Bulgogi or what's the other one? The other one you just said a second ago.
Bibimbap?
Bibimbap, yeah. That's a much better drag name than Soju.
Well, Soju's the drink that they drink.
Yeah, but that's... So, yeah, we know you like alcohol. Big surprise.
But, like, Soju could also be, like, you know, a guy out of drag whose name happens to be, like, Israel or Noah.
If you,
like,
knew, you know, if you just saw Soju. A poster and you saw Bibimbap or Soju performing, which show would you want to see?
I would think both of them were some weird band for children. But
or Bulgogi.
Bibimbap, Bulgogi.
That's good, Bulgogi.
Like, they might as well be the Wiggles. Like, what the fuck? I don't get it.
Soju and the Bulgogis.
It sounds like something you'd need a prescription for. I'm nervous. I don't know. I think it's good that, like, more people are getting into drag, but I don't like that everyone feels like they have to like it and then make a career out of it.
Well, yeah.
And I think it's super limiting to be like, oh, well, I'm Korean and Kimchi's Korean. I want to be like Kimchi. Because if I was just going to follow biracial people in comedy, I'd want to make sketches like Key and Peele. But that's not what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to do stand up. Mm. Like, you can't just follow around people who look like you, do what you want to do. You have to have your own thoughts every now and then, which gay guys aren't good at that. Gay guys just want to follow the drink tickets and the wig. It's really, it's not.
That should be the name of a drag show. Follow the drink tickets and the wig.
Yeah, just drink tickets and a wig. That's drink, my album. That's my comedy album. Drink
tickets and a wig. That's already my drag show.
There you go.
I have the show going on right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, so
at Roscoe's every other Thursday at 10.
Not there.
Drag Race just wrapped up. Yes. And now Camp Wanakiki announced the season 2. And this season they have 12 drag queens, mm-hmm. just like RuPaul's Drag Race. And one of the contestants is a drag king named Boris to Death.
Oh, okay.
Very exciting.
I know, right? Just so original.
But I like, you know, Boris to Death looks like Ernest Borgnine. So it's nice to see all these sort of like My Little Pony kind of drag queens. Mm. And then Uncle Boris.
Yes.
It's one of the contestants.
And then Ernest Borgnine, for our younger viewers who don't know, is the voice of Mermaid Man on SpongeBob. That's the only thing.
Oh,
that's the only thing anyone under the age of 30 would know him from.
Well, the Poseidon Adventure, he was a star of the original film.
That was the 70s, baby. Yeah,
but like still, camp people.
It's so good.
No one gets my Shelley Winters references. And I'm just like, I'm going to drown. Like, no one gets my Shelley Winters.
Underwater, I'm a very skinny lady.
Just jump into the water. I got fat for the Poseidon Adventure. I used to be thin. Like, she never made any sense. She sounded like there was egg in her throat and a bottle in her hand.
Oh, gosh.
It was. Oh, blah, 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 blah.
She was a sex symbol in her day.
She was a symbol of something.
She and Marilyn Monroe, they were roommates, weren't they? Mm-hmm. I think they were roommates.
I think they were. Yeah.
They dated like the same men. She dated James Dean.
I think Marilyn Monroe swung both ways, didn't she?
No, Marilyn liked old guys.
She had sex with Joan Crawford. She revealed that to her therapist. She said it left her feeling cold.
Oh. Can you say that as Marilyn Monroe's voice?
It left me feeling cold.
Oh, Joan
Crawford. Imagine sex with Joan Crawford has to feel like there's ice cubes in your pussy. Like, I have to wash my hands before and after. It's very that. Like, up to the fucking elbows, like a doctor, every finger.
Well,
like,
I wonder if she had that sort of a condition where she had to wash her hands because she felt guilty about something.
I don't
know. Like Macbeth.
She did.
Lady Macbeth.
You know? Oh, yeah. Out, damned spot. Yeah. All of that. But she did cover her house in plastic near the end. So, like, I think it was just, like, advanced OCD.
Mm.
Like, advanced OCD.
Well, her mother was also took on laundry. So she was also, like, raised to, like, washing clothes and stuff like that. So she was very, like, everything has to be clean.
She grew up working and wanting everything to be perfect.
So I wanted to shout outs to the Camp Wanakiki girls before we move on, though.
We got distracted by
season 2. We're not in it, but the Boris to Death is there. Miss Kitty Litter, Austin, Texas.
Ooh, hopefully you get to see her. You're going to be in Austin, Texas in August, right?
August 1st on Thursday night at 11 p.m. I'm going to be performing with my one-man band, me, at the Iron Bear. At 11 p.m.
Are you flying in that day and performing that night?
Yeah, girl. I know. Just like a Rue girl.
Oh, I thought you were performing on Saturday night. I would have told you to fly in on Wednesday.
Well, too late now. I thought the plane ticket, they told me it was going to be on Saturday. And then after I bought the plane ticket, they're like, oh, no, it's going to be. But actually, you can change it. So Debbie Fox from Chicago.
Deborah.
You guys heard on Chicago. A queen named Vivica Galactica, who looks a lot like a nice version of Muffy Fish Basket.
Okay, but not Vivica A. Fox. Not at all.
And then there's a black drag queen, the one black drag queen.
The one.
Coco Gem Holiday.
It's hard to get black people to go camping, am I right?
I mean, I'm not doing it.
Right?
I'm not eating fish out of a fucking fry pit. I'm not doing that bullshit. What the hell?
And Barbara Wire and others. Congratulations, girls. I hope you didn't get Chung. What is that disease that you get from Chugungul?
Sand mites? Ringworm?
Chugungul?
Mononucleosis? But you're in a web series. We just had your co-star on.
Yes,
Shannon Knoll.
Just
call me Ripley.
Shannon Knoll wrote an amazing goddamn script. Mm-hmm. Like, as everyone who has been able
that
to...
That was written? That wasn't improvised?
No, that was not improvised. Shannon wrote an amazing script. And what I really, really love about it is that in spite of your audience, who knows me through like my 13 episodes of being here, I'm incredibly self-advised. involved, but I even read the episodes I wasn't in because they were written that well.
You like, watched?
Yes. I read the script going through. I was so excited to see how it played out. I've watched everything through. Like, it's an amazing coming out story because it's one of those coming out stories that is very, like, for this generation, for, like, right now, because it's not like a coming out story where someone's homeless or a drug addict or, like, their whole life's ruined or, like, their parents kicked them out. It's like a coming out story where nobody cries, which I think is really, really interesting for both sides of it, because it's showing, one, that being gay now is not what it was in the 80s, that we have made some forms of social progress, and that you're not immediately going to be a homeless drug addict on the other side of it. You'll just be someone who knows what the fuck's going on in their head. And because it's a coming out story where no one cries, straight people do not feel like an enemy at any point in time, so they want to watch it and they never feel guilty.
But the best part of the series is you.
I think the best part of it is Shannon's script.
Well, besides Shannon and her script, you
talked the first couple episodes.
What are the eight different gender identities?
Oh, I don't remember. I didn't write that shit. That was a year ago. Oh, honey, don't ask me.
And the last one was Miami.
I honestly, I look so fucking pretty in every frame I'm in. And the last episode. Oh, stunning.
You really, masturbated to your own video.
I did not masturbate to it, but I did just pause it and be like, you did. Now, it,
Shannon was our guest yesterday. She wrote something in our guest book. We have a guest book here at Feast of Fun.
Yes, well, like a museum.
Like a museum, yes. You come in and write your things. So, well, it's also an alibi in case, you know, somebody gets murdered and you'd be like, I was here.
I dated mine. Shannon did not. So they could have done it.
Put the date in for them?
No problem. They were here earlier today?
No, it was yesterday.
Okay, we're going to do a 17th.
So that would be the June 17th.
Okay.
But today is June 18th.
Correct.
But so, for the 19th for the listeners, Juneteenth. Yes.
Juneteenth.
Happy right? Juneteenth.
Is that right?
Yes.
Can I read what Shannon wrote?
Yeah.
It's just funny to me. Shannon wrote in the guest book, always a blast. Thank you so much for having me. Katy Perry and Taylor Swift. Forever, which gave me the giggles. And then underneath that, I wrote, if you can't love yourself, that's just fine. Fuck RuPaul. Just makes me happy. Aww. It does.
That does make me happy.
RuPaul's talk show is on television now.
It's on WoW Presents. That's not television.
No, it's airing on Fox.
The fuck?
The Fox, yeah.
It's limited run 3 weeks or something like that.
Something like
Kris
that.
Jenner? Okay, really prestigious.
I kind of like that idea where you can just work, like, you don't have to commit to a project for 14 years. Mm-hmm. You can just do, like, a three-week project.
Yeah.
And you can just be like, hey, this is 3 weeks of doing this.
I feel like Rue is way too into Rue to be a good talk show host. Because, like, you know, the whole time he's looking at the girls talking to them, it's like his reflection in their eyes. That he's
remember, like, when RuPaul interviewed Eartha Kitt on her talk show and she kept looking at the monitors at herself and be like, damn, I look good. You know?
Rue can't get away from herself.
Well, she's not in drag now, so she won't be doing that.
Because that's how they keep the budget down, not paying a makeup artist, because homegirl cannot do her own shit.
Well, she also, you know, doesn't want to do it because it's like, listen, he's a person and wants to be recognized as a human being.
Well, it also makes sense because, like, you did the talk show in drag. Why not do one out of it?
Yeah.
Well, RuPaul's been fighting all his life to basically, you know, kind of do what we do, is just be a person and interview people as another person and not have to rely on, you know, theater and costumes to sort of engage an audience and your guest. Mm-hmm. And it's a really difficult when you're a drag queen and you've been successful as a drag queen to some degree. It's speaking from personal experience, it's really, really hard to put that aside, because the minute you put it aside, everyone suddenly wants to rob you of your identity and experience as a drag queen. And, like, there are so many people out there who are like, Faust is not a drag queen. I'm like, bitch, I built this city on lipstick and glitter, and you only have a career because we were here first, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, part of it is, like, and my friend Marcus Quilan Nazario, who goes by the name of Carmen, which is another pioneering drag queen of the 90s. You know, every generation has their own pioneer drag queens. She got on social media and she said, I am sick and tired of these, you know, little brats who think that just because you're putting on a wig and, you know, blurring a gender slightly makes you a pioneer or radical or whatever. It's like, your art sucks. Get over it. If you don't embrace your own history, then you are just rudderless. You are lost.
A fucking man, because I very, very much identify with that whole thing of, like, doing what you see everyone else doing and then saying, I'm changing the boundaries. No, you're not. No, you're not. You want attention.
So how do you change the boundary? Like instead of, because I'm all like, let's make a space for people to be better.
Yeah.
And the ones who are listening to this show, how do we encourage people who are artists, who are creative out there, to be better, to explore, to actually break boundaries that are there to be broken.
You got to do shit you don't want to do, unfortunately. Unfortunately,
what does that mean
to.
Exactly?
Because you have to eat ass, Faust. So you have to eat ass.
You know, you have to eat Mark's ass.
You have to taste all the fruit.
You have to eat Mark. It's just berries. But I think that you have to, just doing the whole putting on the wig thing, or just doing the makeup thing, or just changing the clothes is not a revolutionary act by itself. It's where you do it. It's how you do it, who you do it around, and then how successful you are at it. Because you have to go to be super, super gay in a really gay space is not interesting. It's actually quite fucking boring. But like for me, I dress like a dude, but then wear makeup like I'm about to put on a wig and pads, and then go to straight clubs for straight audiences. And then I might talk about the gay thing. I might talk about race and politics for 20 minutes. It just depends on my mood. That I think is more of a boundary pusher. That I think is more of a line, because you're going somewhere where you're not welcome, going as far as you can, and then making them like you while being the freak.
So you're not willing to admit that at some point in time in your entertainment career, you've ever coasted or sat on your hands or done something that was comfortable for yourself?
I feel like the way I do things is my way of making it so that way I cannot coast. Some comedians will do the thing where like they dig themselves in a hole on stage, where they like do a joke that they know is going to piss off the audience, then try and get their way around it. Mm-hmm. My version of that is looking like someone that they would just never ever want to listen to or look at, and then making them want to be my friend by the end of it.
I just think, you know, when people see you, the minute they see you, they fall in love with you. I don't know. I think you're reading more of that into yourself than, you know, in terms of the audiences that I've seen. And maybe you're just performing at like some sports bar in Waukegan or something. But
you don't know the road gigs I get. It's real.
Maybe you've done those. But like when I see you in the clubs here in the city, it's you're certainly like everyone's like, oh, finally, the show doesn't suck. Matt Brown's on, you know.
Well, I mean, thank you. And I mean, I did get told last night, like I had a show at Laugh Factory, and they're like, the entire room was dead till you got up there. And I'm just like, thank you. I did my job. But yeah, like I definitely
you're the hamburger helper.
I you got to add a pound of something if you want this to work.
Meat. Grind it up.
Matt, how are you feeling these days about Pete and Chase and Buttigieg? Because last time you were on the show.
Oh, shit.
How dare you?
You just went on a tirade.
His husband still looks like a box of Kraft mac and cheese. I can't do it.
Well, that's a good thing
and
for some people.
I got a message from one of our long-term listeners and one of our biggest supporters saying that that perhaps you went too far.
Oh, well. Did they stop donating because I'm a cunt?
Well, we don't know yet.
Okay, okay. Because
I said I would bring it up to you.
Let's just say it hasn't donated since.
Okay. I completely understand why some people may think that that's a line too far and why you shouldn't talk about people like that. Yeah. And I simply feel that if you feel that way, you go fuck the Hamburglar. If you think he's adorable, you go fuck someone who's shaped like a kidney bean and tell me how fun it was. Because I'm not doing it.
That's my apology.
Listen,
there are beauty comes in all shapes and sizes.
Sure.
And why the animosity towards somebody's spouse who is running for the political office?
I'm not polite to white mediocrity anywhere. If you're going to marry
someone,
if
he was a person of color, and he looked like the Hamburglar, you would let him slide.
Well, I mean, look at that fat Mexican dude who just won heavyweight. Like, I'm proud of him. Why not? He's built like everyone's fucking uncle, and I guess he can kick ass. Whatever. Sure. Let's go down to you.
So do you feel like part of it is that people are sort of sexualizing political candidates, especially Pete Buttigieg and his husband? And speaking of which, Buttigieg is a great drag name. Someone should use
that. Oh, yes. Welcome to the stage, Miss Buttigieg.
Miss Buttigieg. Yay! I'll be the judge
Judy
of that.
Buttigieg?
There's only one judge, and that is Judge Judy. But until then, it's going to be me. Drop those pants because I want to see the rear end.
Basically mm-hmm. star booty.
Yeah. But part of it is like I do notice that, you know, in some ways. And I noticed this because Mark and I, being in the media as a couple, we've experienced that too, is that people read into you their hopes, aspirations about your relationship and they sexualize how you appear, even though, and Mark and I put ourselves out as sexual people. Mm-hmm. So it's okay for that to happen.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, for somebody like Pete, he's and his spouse, they're not putting themselves out as sexual people. Mm-hmm. And people still like go, oh, he's so cute. I just think he's beautiful. You know,
well, that's because when you're a gay person, you're immediately sexualized to everyone you meet. Yeah. When you're 12 years old and you tell someone that you're gay, their immediate thought is like, I hope they're not sucking dick yet.
So isn't it unfair to then criticize somebody by their appearance because
no,
you're
because
sexualizing
you're in public
them too?
In front of a camera? No.
Okay.
No, because I know that the one reason that I put off acting forever and ever is because I didn't want to get judged in that way. And then I realized that people can say that shit about me when they see me on the web series, which you can watch on wearewo.tv, called Just Call Me Ripley.
Actually, it's on justcallmeripley.com.
Oh, that
that's
too.
The easier way to find it.
You true, know? True. Yeah. But we got to be a fan of the streaming platform as well. But when I signed up to do that, I realized that I could get some really uptight negative comments about what I look like, and I don't have to listen to them because I get dick in my real life. Okay? If Chase is actually fucking his husband and actually happy, whatever comments about what he looks like or what he does shouldn't interest him. It's just like the people who actually have active sex lives don't walk around talking about sexuality all day, because if you're doing it, you're not thinking about it. Your dick's hard. So, like, I'm just tired of everyone. I'm just fucking tired of everybody.
Well, I can guarantee you that the person who wrote is getting plenty of dick.
They must be unsatisfied with it if they have all the spare time, because like good dick will make you forget you had a shift. Good dick will make you forget about that article. Okay?
Oh, I miss Alexis K. Tyler. Do you remember her? Dick will make you slap somebody.
No, but that's funny.
You were too young when she came.
She
out.
Was one of the you first viral superstars on YouTube, yeah. And she came on her show a couple times, talking about her life as a bisexual woman. She got kicked out of her house for coming out as bi to her mom, and later on, she and her mom did this cable access show that got posted on YouTube, and she's just ranting about the vagina and the penises and all this stuff, and the mother's sitting there kind of like using a laptop as an emotional blanket.
Yeah.
And she just keeps saying, are you sure you want to say that on television? And her daughter's like, dress up in a paramilitary uniform, like she is
Janet Jackson, Rhythm Nation.
Yes. Yeah, Rhythm
but like
Nation,
ready to like break a bottle against a bar.
Yeah, she is ready to start a revolution, and she just looks at the camera and says, "Dick will make you slap somebody.
It will.
Vagina power." She's talking about the power of sexuality to transform your life and transform the world. And Alexis K. Tyler, wherever you are, we salute you, girl.
What? I don't think anybody's dick's that special, but
Dick will make you slap somebody.
It might make you slap somebody.
A good
somebody.
Dick will make you slap somebody.
Will good dick make
but
you
crazy
vote?
Crazy dick will make you sick.
Will good dick make you vote? Will it make you volunteer? Will it make you donate to charity?
You know, I say paint with all the crayons in the box and cook with all the spices on the rack. And if getting rid of Trump means that we have to sexualize Pete Buttigieg and his hamburger husband, bring on the hamburger helper.
But then, I don't know. I just can't, like, as gay people, that's not the right that we fought for.
It's not about the right we fought for, but right now we're in a crisis mode, and we're when you're in crisis, you basically all rules are off the table.
I still stand by what I said before. If we have a gay president before we have a woman president, women are going to be killing gay dudes in the streets. Boys Town, it's just going to be like Perseus and Medusa with the heads and the knives. It's going to be bad.
Is it the situation where like people feel about civil rights of who is in charge in the White House, like this idea that we have to have a female president, we have to have a marginalized person as president before we start addressing, like, you know, income inequality, healthcare, those things?
Well, I think it makes sense because if you want to understand anything about a culture, how it works and how to change it, you need to talk to the people who are at the seat of oppression for it, because nobody knows more about how someone or something works than the person who's getting treated by shit about by them. Mm. Like, no one knows more about an abusive husband than his wife.
Mm. But a political primary, you know, in a winner takes all, you know, political system is an imperfect process.
Totally.
And, you know, whoever wins that primary is not necessarily the best candidate that party has.
No, it's just what's working at that moment.
And, you know, and certainly God forbid, you know, Joe Biden wins that ticket. You know, I'm going to be voting for him, but he's definitely like on the bottom of my list.
Yeah.
You know, Elizabeth Warren is definitely the top of my list.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I wouldn't be hating on Bernie Sanders either.
I just feel like at this point, like everything has become so clear as far as like where we're at as a culture of people on the ground. Like the actual populace of the United States is so much further left than the government ever was or is ever going
we're
to be.
We're under siege right now. Yeah.
Like, I mean, it was like that pre-Trump. I've been saying that since I was in high school. Mm. Like the average American citizen's a fucking socialist and doesn't know it. Like most people are much further to the left than they believe. And so I think like that diversity candidate, that whatever candidate, that person who everyone thinks isn't winnable because they're not, you know, white and backed up by venture capitalists at JP Morgan, I think they are the popular vote candidate.
Yeah. And I just, you know, want to encourage people just to do anything that it takes to get politically active. Mm-hmm. And part of it is like, it's harder for even me to take, you know, entertainers seriously when they don't talk about those things. You know, whether that be Katy Perry or Rue Girl or yeah, absolutely. I'm like, if you're not, you know, standing up for something, you don't really believe in anything except making money.
I feel like everyone gets to decide for themselves what their job really is.
Sure.
Some people really feel like being an activist.
I don't have to watch your, you know, your videos. I don't have to buy your products. I don't have to talk about you. I don't have to care about you. But if you want me to care, you need to talk about the things that I care about.
Okay.
You know, and that's fine. It's like, it is, a, you know, there's no, the, I think that the issue that I have, and part of it is like why the dysfunctional system stays in place is that younger generations of people have this idea that civil rights and entertainment are intertwined. Mm-hmm. And so there's this idea that like, we should have representation on a reality TV show.
Why is that important to you that there's a fucking Asian teen mom?
Yeah.
Why does that make you happy? Like, what the fuck? What is that about? But I also, I don't necessarily believe that I need every actor and every singer and every performer to have a political statement, because most of these people are fucking stupid.
I don't want them talking exactly, but if they can, you owe it to your world and your audience to educate yourself.
I think they owe their talent more than they owe anybody else anything, because most of these people, honestly, like, all they know how to do is strum a guitar and fucking let them. I don't want to hear a football player talk about economics. I don't want to hear, like, there's just certain shit.
So you, if you're like stupid, Colin, and you're only Kaepernick kneeling for the
flag. I'm totally down for that, because he's smart and he has a purpose and he has a message. But like, if you're just Taylor Swift and you're a white girl who's like, ooh, well, everyone else has finally realized that this Trump dude is bad. Maybe 3 years later, I'll tell someone to vote for a Democrat. If you're doing that shit, go fuck you. You're not safe.
Listen,
you're not
Taylor Britney, Swift has gotten more people registered to vote in red states for Democrats than anybody else that I know. You know, Taylor Swift has actually been profoundly influential in
politics. I wish you guys could see the look on Matt's face as he looks at Fausto defending.
Dirty looks. I'm telling you, you know, Taylor Swift, I don't, you just may love or hate her.
I'm beating both your asses. I'm going world star on both these motherfuckers. Watch the extended play.
And to me, I'm like, that's the thing. It's like, you have the ability to create a revolution because people love you and they follow you and they hang on to your every word, and you may be a boxer, dumb as a box of rocks, but you're smart enough to know to get people motivated, to get people engaged.
But we only like it when our people do it, because when Ted Nugent does it, we all want to go be his ass.
He's doing it. He's doing it.
He is doing it.
So we need our people to do it too. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the thing about
it. Barbara Streisand. They've got Ted Nugent. We have Barbara Streisand.
Oh my God.
We have Bette Midler.
Bette Midler
doesn't. Kathy Griffin.
I feel like a lot of these progressive celebrities, they may post a tweet or something, but it's like, to me, it's like someone like Sarah Silverman. That's what I like to see, is like getting people organized, getting people mobilized, registered to vote.
I refuse to believe Barbara Streisand actually votes. I don't think she actually goes to a poll.
No, she mails it in.
She goes to the basement and hangs out with her cranberry glass.
She probably has her own little voting booth in her little underground city.
Well, you know, they only count absentees in case of a tie, so her vote don't count. So she talks all the shit, but she actually don't matter. It shouldn't show up. Wouldn't you just love to see her in like sweatpants and a Wu-Tang t-shirt going to the polls? That would make my life.
She's probably listening right now. She's like, that's a good idea, Matt. Yeah. I'm going to do that just for you.
You know, Matt, that's a good idea. I'm going to do it.
Just for you.
I need the roses outside to match the colors of the paint inside. It's a whole theme. Oh, Barbara Streisand's crazy.
Last but not least, Liza Minnelli has been back in the news, being interviewed in Entertainment Tonight, asked about what her mother, the great Judy Garland, would
have... Mama.
Are we going to be talking about Mama? I love talking about my mother.
She made a good shepherd's pie.
What did Judy Garland would have thought about Lady Gaga's reboot of A Star Is Born? She started cackling and said, well, she would have left, and then she would have gotten into it. I could see her saying, okay, let's go. Great to the end.
What does that mean?
It means she didn't really, you know, feel it.
But like none of those words together created a paragraph or a sentence at any point. Great. Go to the end. What is that? Like
she's in the mind. Shallow in the shallow. No.
Yuck. That's Liza for you.
Yeah.
Just a whole lot of wobble. Like you can see the sequence shake with the vibrato and everything. It's too.
Yeah.
Much.
Liza with a Z, not Liza with the S, because Liza with the S goes nuts.
That's
the song, baby. Mm-hmm. So she also was asked what she thought about Renee Zellweger taking on her mom, Judy, in the new film Judy. And she once again cackled and said, "Oh, really? No, I haven't seen anything. Oh, she's just a wonderful actress. I hope they don't do what they always do. That's all I got to say."
Oh, God, because all they're going to do is just have Renee Zellweger like bent over like on a fucking stool smoking a cigarette. A holiday in London town. Just for 2 hours, and then we all go home.
That's a pretty impressive Judy Garland vocal impersonation.
I've practiced.
Yeah, in the mirror.
Once or twice.
Who are the divas that you sort of channel the most?
I feel like I bring a fair amount of Judy. When I'm really well slept, I can do a decent, like, well, I'm well rested, I can do a good Bette Midler. But, like, I gotta be, like, ready for that one.
What does that even sound like?
Because I fell in love with her from The Rose. So it's, like, all that crazy high belting from, like, the end
Some
of it.
Some say love.
Oh, no. How's it go? No, you don't remember, like, the song at the very end of the movie when she has the heroin overdose and she's like, "I am begging you to stay with me, baby." You don't remember that?
No.
Oh, God. And then she just falls over right at the end and she gets a standing ovation. That's how I want to die. On fucking stage.
We can make that happen.
Oh, please shoot me right afterwards like Bodyguard.
Can you do a good Marie Curie imitation? Oh, I'm sorry.
Please tell them that story. Tell the children.
Some woman wanted a Mariah Carey cake, and her coworkers got her one, except there was some kind of miscommunication in it, and it turned out to be a Marie Curie's.
Which I'm pretty sure the song, which the song Hero is about her. And yeah, Anytime You Need a Friend is actually about a penicillin. What did she invent? It was radiation.
She died of radiation. Yeah, it was radiation.
She discovered radium and polonium.
Anytime you need a friend, I will be here.
I think she would stick her finger in the stuff and taste it and be like, yeah, that's kind of not
this good. Tastes scientific. Yeah, she had a PhD. That's what they teach in Europe.
Well, back in the old days, it's like science was more, you know, like a yard sale. It was more hands on.
Well, what about those grittier women in the 20s or something like that? They used to paint the watches
And then their tongues would turn green.
And they would dip their like wet their tongue on the paint and it was whatever. And then they all got like some really terrible.
They'd get like holes
cancer
in their kidneys. Like their bodies would fall apart. Terrible. Yeah.
Ay, ay, ay.
I'm glad I never had that job.
No. Oh my God.
That's a shitty job.
But like, I kind of think Mariah Carey looks like she got radiation poisoning. Like, remember when she was all fat and bloated and Botoxy in 2015, and then she got rid of the Russian manager and she got her lap band, and so then she was all skinny. She just looks like she went through like a wind tunnel. Something's going on.
Listen, let me tell you, as you get older, your metabolism slows down. You want to look like me, girl? You gotta get to the gym and exercise. Mm-hmm.
I just think she's all fucked up ever since Nick Cannon left her. She misses that good black dick. Now she's just fucking backup dancer.
I'd be depressed if Nick Cannon left me.
He's a cute guy.
He's cute. But he's like one of those like crazy dudes who will like wear a turban but like not be Muslim and then like say he doesn't believe in doctors. Like he's a weirdo.
Oh, he's a flat earther anti-vaxxer.
He's like cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs and I'd give him two more kids.
I'm always shocked when I meet somebody who's like a flat earther or an anti-vaxxer.
It's like finding out someone's a Scientologist. You're like, I liked you. Like,
did we? I think we actually had somebody who was a Scientologist on the podcast one time.
Well, ex-Scientologist.
But like currently. And
like Leah Remini.
And we were just kind of like, okay, we're not going to talk about that. Mm-hmm. But one time we were interviewing people in Los Angeles and the term like talking about Scientology came up and they were all got really nervous about it.
Yeah. They don't want to talk about Scientology.
Well, yeah, because if you know anyone who's a Scientologist and they find out you're talking bad about it, they don't talk to you anymore. They can't do business.
And you're not going to get gigs.
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah.
So our entertainment career is ruined. God. Well, it was a pleasure entertaining you guys. Remember, Feast of Fun is made possible because of generous support of fabulous people like you. If you are listening to the show and you've been thinking about becoming a member, membership does have its privileges. And during Pride Month, what better way to show how proud you are of your community by helping to sponsor a fabulous Feast of Fun episode? Go to feastoffun.com/plus and become a member, or join our Patreon at patreon.com/feastoffunty. No, it's just Feast of Fun.
And then while your wallet's out, my Venmo is matt-brown-1998. Thank you.
Does that ever work?
Every now and then.
Really? And somebody gives you money through Venmo?
Mm-hmm, and I don't even have to work for it, girlfriend.
You suck the dicks in the parking lot.
One or two.
About it is like, you know, people go like, wow, Matt Brown, the audience just loves Matt. They're so
No, I blow them all right before the show. They take out numbers like they're at a deli, and then I have a great audience.
And they're like, oh, I love that kid. He's just slurping on my dong.
That's why I could never work a theater. I can't blow 1,500 people before 8 o'clock.
Like, I can do about 100-seat theater.
Yeah, yeah, short, small theater. Club,
yeah.
Club.
I'm more of a cabaret artist, if you know what I'm saying.
Matt, what are you going to do for Pride?
What am I going to be doing for Pride? Drinking alone in my apartment.
Oh, really?
Under no circumstances. No, I have a bunch
of...
You're
going to go to the parade?
No.
You're doing a show on Pride?
I don't do that.
What kind of celebration? How are you going to celebrate your LGBT-ness?
I'm going to have sex. But I do
Swipe
that all month.
Right, baby.
Because you're single and ready to mingle.
Yes, and fucking you're all the tough. Bitches and hoes.
Bring the big, hard, black dicks to Matt Brown.
No, I am the big hard black dick that's coming to a home near you. Mm-hmm. Not your house, but like an abandoned one next door, maybe. Booty. Yes.
But if you look like the black. Hamburglar,
preferably black.
Stay home.
Yeah, but if you look like the Hamburglar or are shaped like a kidney bean or a scoop of ice cream. not allowed. Not allowed. If you want to know where you can maybe bargain like your wares, like if you're trying to like sell me your twat, you could do that at Graham Cracker Comics on June 20th at 7 p.m. Mm. You could also do it at Beauty Bar on June 24th at 9:30 p.m. You could do it at Hamburger Mary's in Oak Park on June 27th at 8 p.m.
That's Pride Weekend.
Yes, that's Pride Weekend. Also on Pride Weekend, I have a show in Pilsen for all West Side Chicago people on June 29th at 8 p.m. And also one that weekend on Sunday, June 30th, day of Pride, I believe, mm-hmm. on 8 p.m. at Spinner's, which is a like a lesbian bar. So like I'll be with my peeps.
That's the one on Western Avenue?
Yes.
I used to hang out there. Mm-hmm. In like 2002, and it was a Native American and lesbian bar.
That's super cool. I met my best friend there.
Yeah, did you?
Mm-hmm.
I had some wild nights with some of the people that worked at Spinner's.
Really? Mm-hmm.
They're probably all dead now.
Oh, so you're the only one who didn't get the HIV is what you're trying to tell me?
No, I'm just saying there was a lot of...
Their organs shut down.
There were crystals involved and not China.
It was wild.
I see into your future days. Missing teeth.
I see a 60-day treatment recovery option plan on your health insurance.
I hope you have a good Pride and I hope you get, I hope you find somebody nice. Now that you're open on the market and... Ready to see the world.
What are you doing on Pride, Mark?
Sticking his dick in the crack of the sidewalk.
Watching the parade with somebody, right?
Yeah, we usually go hang out with the P flag folks because mm-hmm. they're kind of like...
They're like
moms and dads. They're all like, oh, come here. You don't have a place to march. March with us.
And then
and I'm like, I'm going to be passing out my merch.
On that Friday, they have the drag festival here in Andersonville. I'm going to hang out with T.S. Madison. That Tiffany Pollard, I Love New York, is going to be there.
Yes.
So she'll probably try and avoid me, but I might try and make her say hi to me or something.
You have we'll to see. Say hi to Tiffany.
Yeah. And I don't know who else is going
to
be there.
What? Somebody pitched me to Tiffany Pollard, and I was like, I had to look it up who she was. And I was like, oh, I love New York. Yes, of course. Mm. She was in a reality TV show, her claim to fame, Flavor of Love. And I guess she was so outrageous on that show that they gave her own show. Mm-hmm. And now she sort of mellowed out and became just like a comedy.
She did the same thing Snooki did. It's just like, I was wild and crazy and drunk, and now I'm a mom.
But she's, you know, Tiffany Pollard is pretty down to earth, whereas Snooki's kind of, she has a talent, you know, she's a great comedian, whereas Snooki's an interesting person, but I don't know if she's that good about
she's a great body double for Alvin the Chipmunk. Oh, she really, she's got a job there, income the rest of her fucking life.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you so much for having me. We'll
thanks for having us. Thanks for coming. Awesome. I know you have many, many podcasting choices, and we thank you for choosing Feast of Fun. Remember, Feast of Fun, subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, and Google Play,
Luminary, or
wherever fine podcasts are found.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Bye. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.